I was in high school, I read Robert Frost's poem in an English lit class, and I listened as the teacher enthusiastically explained in great detail why this was such a good poem. The teacher talked about iambic verse and the intricate rhyming structure. He didn't mention what seemed most magical to me, which was that Frost's words helped me in California to feel winter in New England, the cold, the deep, dark woods filling up with snow, the easy wind and downy flake. The words and my imagination brought forth something I would only experience directly decades later. Likewise, Nikki Giovanni's playful poem is woven with joy, kissing snowflakes and loving them all as they call their cousins and brothers to come. I am guessing that at some point for me, there might be a bit of grumbling at the snow this winter, moving from the place of appreciating the beauty to the bitterness of cold and wind. Yet I hope to engage the spiritual practice of reframing. That is, if I catch myself complaining, I will strive to picture Giovanni's sprightly smile, face turned upward to kiss each snowflake. I grew up with music and poetry weaving through December. The radio, which was on most of the time at my house, would play Christmas carols and the occasional Hanukkah song beginning about 5 minutes after Thanksgiving dinner. Christmas morning meant Barbra Streisand's Christmas album would spin on the record player or later the CD player. Maybe you have also waited on Christmas Eve hoping to hear sleigh bells or reindeer inspired by Clement Clark Moore's lines, and then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof.
When I was a senior in college and I was on the basketball team, I regularly had to ice an ankle or a knee after practice, sometimes both. After hobbling back to the dorm with my bag of ice from the trainer, I'd put George Winston's December tape on. It was a cassette tape then. And sit in the hallway with my door open and my bag of ice and whatever body part was hurting that day. I was suffering from that angst that's part of young adulthood. I was also dreading going home for the holidays. I was worried about getting my good grades and whether I would heal enough to be able to play in the next game. I was worried about getting the right gifts for my college friends and how much I'd miss them during the winter break. And I was trying to figure out why I seemed so different from my peers. Why I felt so different. But with the music on, I could feel held in all of these overwhelming emotions and swirling thoughts, just being with them. And when I was ready or the ice was melted, I could move into the next moment of hope or joy. Brenda Shaughnessy was born in Okinawa in 1970 and grew up in Southern California. She received her BA in Literature and Women's Studies in Santa Cruz and her Master's in Fine Arts from Columbia University. She now lives in Brooklyn. Her poem that Mati read, Why is the Color of Snow, appears in her collection, Human Dark with Sugar. And poet Kate Peebles reviewed this book, noting that Shaughnessy draws attention to the contradiction of being made up of so many parts while appearing to be one single body. Let's ask a poet with no way of knowing, she writes, someone who can give us an answer, another duplicity to help double the world. What kind of poetry is all question anyway? Each question leads to an ice burn, a snow nova, a single bed spinning in space. Poets decide, I am lonely with questions. What is snow? What isn't? Do you see how it is for me? Melt yourself to make yourself more clear for the next observer. I could barely see you anyway. this poem seems to me a practice of science, to ask so many questions, to see where they lead, posit a theory, check it out, test it, ask, observe, ask again. It also seems like one for our faith. What kind of poetry is all question anyway? What kind of religion is all question anyway? Unitarian Universalism invites us to question our assumptions, to question our beliefs, to question what others tell us, to question the nature of things. And yet the contradiction is that most of us are more comfortable in the knowing, less so in the ambiguity. We are asking questions to seek answers, not usually just to simply ask. And one can be lonely with questions. And how often do we fall into the habit of wanting snow to melt to make itself more clear? A lovely play on words. How often do we want this, or others demand it of us, or maybe we expect it of others? Change so that we can understand you. Conform so we feel more comfortable around you. Choose a pronoun so language habits can go unexamined. Decide about God or no God so we know whether or not you're a religion. So many ways we are asked to melt, to make ourselves more clear. Oh, materialists, thinking matter matters. To dream and to question, asking the poets to answer as we dream.
One of my favorite poems of the season was written by Theodore Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss. His lyrical story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, speaks to much that I find mysterious and beautiful about this holiday season. We all have the capacity to be selfish, stingy, and spiteful. As was said of the Grinch, now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. And so with his too small heart and his too tight shoes, he tries to stop Christmas from coming. He wants to stop the celebration, the singing, the joy. But Dr. Seuss was a Unitarian Universalist. And this faith affirms the possibility for each of us to transform, to be saved from our own worst selves. The Grinch is a bit like Ebenezer Scrooge, a character created by Charles Dickens, who was also Unitarian. I imagine Scrooge and the Grinch having coffee, swapping stories of when they were both unhappy and angry with everyone before their hearts grew. And that, dear ones, is part of the magic. This holiday season celebrates miracles. The miracle of oil lasting for 8 days. The miracle of a star that foretells the birth of a baby whose life would bring change. Did those things really happen? I don't know. And as one of my philosophy professors said, something doesn't have to have happened to be true. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from the store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker, now retired president of Star King School for the Ministry, where Lynn and I attended seminary, has a gift of words and with questions, as well as observations that help our hearts grow. She wrote this poem in this season a few years ago while contemplating the work of Joanna Macy, an ecological activist striving to end the destruction of this beautiful planet we share. She writes, "A Winter Blessing." In the shadowed quiet of winter's light, Earth speaks softly of her longing, because the wild places are in tears. "Come," she cries to us, "kneel down here on the frosty grass and feel the prayer buried in the ground. Bend your ear to my heart and listen hard. Love this world," she whispers. "Distill peace from the snow and water the cities with mercy. Weave wonder from the forest and clothe grief with beauty. Rest in the rhythm of the turning year, trace the bending arc rounding the curve toward justice, and vow anew to do no harm. The winter trees stand watch, haloed in the last gleams of the slanting sun. Glory sings here. Heaven echoes the call. Repeat the sounding joy. Make your life and answer. Bow. Praise. Rise." Bow. Praise. Rise. In addition to the lamentation, there is exaltation. Besides the gray and barren trees, there is beauty. Our children and youth led worship last week, reminding us of several of the rituals and practices, as well as the significance of many holidays and holy days of this season of darkness and light. And there are others we didn't mention. But whether you celebrate the birth of the Buddha, honor the Virgin of Guadalupe, the miracle of oil lasting 8 days, African-American ancestry and family, the return of the sun, or the birth of a child, or Diwali and the lights, this child, these people, these stories, bringing visions of peace and justice to the world. The world is asking us to bow, to praise, and to rise again.
And so we who are full of doubts, whose hearts are sometimes too small, come together. We light candles and sing songs and share poems. And sometimes something incredible happens, and we are saved from our own worst selves. I have witnessed it and experienced it, and I know it to be true. Our hearts get bigger, and we find the courage and inspiration to practice compassion, to work for justice, and to live with joy. May it be so for each of us.